The Chaser Report. News you can't trust.
Welcome back to a bonus episode of The Chaser Report. I'm one of the interns, Xander, and today Gabby and I will be interviewing internet musical comedian Nick Lutzko. Nick rose to success over the last few years creating satirical and absurdist songs like
Celebrities are hot because they all drink baby blood.
Joe Biden wants to take your meat, so you better find a hottest spot that he can't reach.
President Trump won't talk about his ass.
Nick's even written songs for Netflix, Super Deluxe, and College Humor. In today's podcast, we talk about his musical influences, his comedic process, and what it's like when crazy conspiracy theorist Alex Jones and his fan base starts to love your folk parody of his rants. That's after the break.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
We are joined right now by Nick Lutzko, creator of Alex Jones Rants as an indie folk song and Donald Trump Speeches as an emo song, amongst hundreds of other bits of comedy. Nick, thank you so much for joining on the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm a new father. I'm somewhat sleep deprived, but I'm enjoying life.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I know you're known for your musical comedy, obviously, but I just want people to understand, any of our listeners understanding, that the production quality on the songs you make is absolutely insanely professional. So I was just wondering if you might go over some of your personal musical influences. They don't have to be specific to comedy if you don't want them to. I was just curious as to who your favorite musos were.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I love so many, like such a wide range of artists, the most generic answer is the Beatles have been one of my favorite bands since I was very young, and really got into Bob Dylan when I first started exploring songwriting. And then I got into like more college age, I got into like the Beach Boys and Tom Waits and Ween and Leonard Cohen and the Talking Heads, and I guess more modern artists I really enjoy Arcade Fire and Vampire Weekend and Andrew Bird. I think I got into music like before, like I never even like envisioned that I would be doing anything related to comedy. And in some ways, I guess you could say I'm a bit of a failed musician who pivoted into comedy. So I think that's a part of the reason why, like, the production and the musical aspect of what I do sounds a little bit more professional than most musical comedies, because that's where I started and that's where I put a lot of effort into.
Yeah, no, it absolutely shows.
And that kind of all starts to change around the 2016 American election, right?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know how to put it into words. I was just so bewildered by the whole 2016 campaign, and it's just so old and boring to even talk about Trump at this point. But yeah, I was I got really into the work of Vic Berger that he was doing at the time, because I felt like he was just doing such a brilliant job of capturing like the absurdity and just how nonsensical everything felt. It just felt like this weird nightmare, and he did a really great job of kind of like solidifying those like feelings with myself, like making me feel like I'm not the only one experiencing this. And he did this election special in 2016, and I just felt compelled to write a theme song for it unsolicited. And I tweeted it at him and Tim Heidecker, who he's working with, and they ended up using it as like the official theme song for that special. There would be nothing else that I'm doing now without that one event. Like, that was like, Super Deluxe produced it, and they were like, hey, do you want to do more like comedy type stuff for us? And it was just me being like, okay. Like, I wasn't qualified for it. I was just a fan. And it was just a way to, you know, try to make some money. you know, because there's not a lot of opportunities to make money as a musician. And and so, yeah, I just kind of went down that road, and opportunities just continued to present themselves, and eventually I ended up here.
I feel like everybody in musical comedy kind of just finds their way there, and it feels like this weird twist of comedic fate of some kind, where it's like a series of events led to the next series of events, which led to the next series of events. And do you find there's a certain joy from the impulsivity of all of it? Like, do you find that not really knowing what the next opportunity is going to be is kind of a thrill, or is it a stress for you, or like?
Yeah, no, it's really exciting, especially now. I feel like, you know, I have released non-comedic records, and I'll continue to, like, I still really enjoy that as well. But like, I feel like, the last record I did in particular, it was just such a painstaking process of everything was so long. Like, it took so long to like settle on which lyrics I liked and which instrumentation I liked and how to mix it, how to produce it. And sometimes, like, I mean, there were literally years there were literally songs I started on in 2015, maybe, that I didn't finish until like 2019 for that record. So that, yeah, some of those, wow, had like a 4-year lifespan. So it's been really cool, with these comedy songs, just like, you know, a lot of them, I'll get the idea for the song in the morning and write it as fast as I can, produce it as fast as I can, shoot like a crappy video on my phone and upload it on Twitter that evening. And like, that's part of the process, is like just trusting my subconscious and just like going with the first instinct. And yeah, it's just been cool. It's been very validating seeing that people like enjoy it. It's just two very different things, and it's cool being able to do both, and I think both are very rewarding. As far as the impulsivity of work, I've been lucky enough to where I've kind of gotten to the point that like there definitely was like a period where it was like, oh wow, the first 3 months of this year have gone like amazing, and then I don't have another job for like another 5 months, and it's always, I'm never gonna work again, I gotta get a day job, I gotta do, you know. And that part of it, yeah, like was not fun. Yeah, it's been really cool that with these songs I've been doing on Twitter, like every time I get enough songs to like put on Bandcamp, I just release an EP, and it seems like I've kind of like accumulated this tribe of people that are interested in throwing money at the things I create, which is just like the greatest thing I could ever ask for.
I think that there's a certain accessibility to musical comedy that doesn't quite exist within regular stand-up comedy. Do you find yourself taking more comedic risks through your original comedy music as opposed to a risk you wouldn't probably normally take in just a regular stand-up set? Like, do you find yourself braver under the guise of comedy, musical comedy?
Oh man, I don't know, because it's something that I fell into as a way to make money, you know what I mean? Like, I did that, yeah, song for Kim and Vic just purely for creative expression, and there wasn't even really a joke to that theme song other than the fact that I was doing it, I guess. And then, you know, Super Deluxe, which was like kind of like this young company that was looking for creators to like create stuff very regularly, was just like, could tell that I could make stuff quickly, and it was this element of like taking this person's words and this person's context. There wasn't a lot of like joke writing in the craft of it. It was more like puzzle making, like putting together, crafting these like weird puzzles. And then over time, like, I became more confident in the comedy that I brought to that puzzle making, which eventually led to this point about a year ago where I started actually writing comedy music. Anyways, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's been such a weird path to where I am now that it's still very new for me to even think of myself in terms of being a comedian or whatever else. And it's especially interesting in that, like, now we're planning live shows, and it's like, okay, I have to take it into consideration that a lot of these people probably are coming to the show expecting a comedy show. And it's like kind of blending these two worlds of, like, I've always put on very kind of theatrical, fun live shows, but like adding a comedic element outside of the music. Like, it's all very new and interesting. But I do think, just as far as like, I did this 1-hour long special on my YouTube channel where I was inaugurated as the president of Halloween. And like that was like an opportunity for me to like, I mean, yeah, it's a comedy special technically, you know, it's not like of the hour long special, it's probably like 10, 15 minutes of music. But like, I do feel like whatever I'm doing, you know, in that or on Twitter or through these songs and what I'll eventually end up doing on stage all kind of fall under the same umbrella. Like, I don't approach any of them that differently, I don't think.
Your songs have had a lot of different targets over the last year, from wanting to play at Joe Biden's inauguration,
Joe, let me sing at your inauguration,
to hosting Saturday Night Live, what's the process for choosing the next topic?
Yeah, man. So it's kind of impossible to say what's next just because it's so like so much of it depends on my schedule. Like, it's funny because like towards the end of last year, like the height of the pandemic, I didn't really have a lot of work going on. So it was like I kind of made it my focal point to be like, okay, I'm definitely going to write a song this week. And, you know, I have these 2 days to work on it and I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm going to write a song about something and shoot a video and put something up. It's almost like I have to like wake up and be inspired by whatever people are talking about that day. Like with Joe Biden's inauguration, for example, it's like, well, first of all, the insurrection of January 6th on the United States Capitol had happened just a few days earlier. So I feel like every American was kind of dealing with the trauma of that. And although the song has its own like subtext of like why I'm in a neck brace and I have a black eye, I feel like all Americans felt like they'd just been beaten up after 4 years of Trump. And it was like the inauguration was coming up in the next couple weeks. And it's like, I've created this strange character who is having a very, what's the word? Volatile relationship with his grandmother's new boyfriend. You know, like without getting into the weeds of all the background and the lore of everything, but it was like, okay, how can I use the current event that a lot of people are talking about to tell my own stupid story around this strange character that I've kind of created? And I mean, and same thing with Saturday Night Live. Everyone was going on about having Elon Musk host that week, and you know, obviously it was just, there's so many memes about it, and there's a lot to say about like, it felt like here we go again in a way with them booking Trump in 2016. It's like, maybe let's learn from our mistakes and not like book these like eccentric billionaires who like may not have the best interests of like the most people. It's been harder to be as productive as I was at the latter part of last year, just because I had a new baby and that's taken up a lot of time, and I've had other jobs that have come like as a result of all these things I've been doing. I have to be more intentional in that, like, if I want to make sure I get a song out this month, like I need to like start thinking about like what is happening and how can I tie that into whatever the story is that I'm working on. So I don't know if any of that makes a lot of sense, because I'm trying to tell a Spark Notes version of very complicated. No.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I feel like you have to kind of stay topical, particularly with political satire. It's always sort of a lottery every single day of what you're going to cover. But I do have to ask, and I know that you've probably been asked a gajillion times about this, but you are obviously the creator behind Alex Jones as an indie folk song.
Store, the paradigm of absolute control. And that's why we're just out here doing simple things, pointing out that we're meant to be in nature and be natural. And this is where we find the source that God made to transcend the new world order. And that's why they want to try to keep us out of it.
which is one of the most, to me, iconic pieces of musical comedy, political satire I think ever created. Currently sitting at 7.4 million views on YouTube. But I did just want to say, it is only one of many X as an X song in that series. Did you know that that one in particular was going to be as incredibly successful as it was when you were making it? Or for you, was it just a bit of fun that kind of blew up out of nowhere?
Yeah, so that's something that I did for that company, Super Deluxe. And I definitely knew there was something special about it as I was working on it. But I never know how something is going to do, like, ever.
Yeah.
And I know with that song in particular, I've been doing the Emo Trump videos.
Yes.
We did enough of those where it was like, I think this is kind of like played out. And it was like, okay, now what else can we do with this same like format? Like, who else do we have endless amounts of footage saying the most absurd things you can think of? And like, it's a shorter list. I think like the three people that I felt like were the best candidates for that format were Trump, Alex Jones, and Kanye West. And we had to get more creative when we like did other ones. But I think those were the three guys that's just like, there's so much material of them just saying like the most ridiculous things. But yeah, I remember the day that they posted it on their Facebook, he messaged me within like 5 minutes and was like, he had some guy at Super Deluxe who's like on the tech side. And he was like, we can already tell just by how many times it's been shared that this is going to like be insanely viral, just because I don't know, some metric that they saw that I didn't have. But yeah, people totally connected with it. The only other little piece of trivia I think I can add about that song that might be worth mentioning is it kind of started as let's do like a metal Alex Jones song, and then it was like it's too obvious, what's the opposite of that, like, and then it was like trying to find like this very soft, like ethereal white boy folk music. And that was kind of like, I really think that made it so much better than what would have been had we leaned into like the aggression. Like, I think that would have almost validated the things he was saying in a way, in that, whereas the indie folk, I think, undermines the intensity.
Yeah, the absolute commitment to that genre in that song is what makes it funny to me, is just how wonderfully arranged the harmonies are to his like yells of frustration. It's just brilliant. But what I did want to ask, like, the response to that song though, did Alex Jones offer you a job? Like, I feel like maybe that might have been by people who are less aware of the satire of it. Did you get some weird inboxes after that?
Yeah, definitely. It was a very strange time in that, like, on the one hand, I believe Super Deluxe was thrilled to have a song that was so popular, but like, he really used it. Like, he did, like, it was on the weekend, I think, and he did an emergency broadcast to talk about this new viral song, and about he insisted that the person that wrote it was like a closeted InfoWars fan that was trying to like red pill the masses, and like And he was like begging for more, and he did this stupid cover contest, and he offered like $20,000 to the winner, to whoever did the best cover. It was all just so insane. So it was like this really kind of strange like reverse psychology of like, this doesn't bother me, I love this. And Super Deluxe was like, yeah, we just don't even want his attention. Like, his fans are too intense, they're too weird. And like, I definitely, to this day, it's the most viral like song, or the most like, you know, viewed song on my, or video on my YouTube channel. And like, the majority of the comments and notifications I get on YouTube are people commenting on that video, and so many of them are, Alex Jones was right, everything he says is true, tell me where the lie is, I didn't know who this guy was, and then I watched this video and now I'm such a fan. And like, initially I thought like, this is Alex Jones, he's like making these bots, and like, because there's no person that can be this insane to watch this video and think, that's, you know, a reasonable guy, that's the guy I want to follow. But it's been 4 years since the song's come out, and it's constant. Like, it's it's nonstop, and it's like very depressing to think that there's that many people that buy into that guy's like rhetoric, and it makes me very sad for like the state of like human nature, I guess. Not to get very dark with it, but it's like, it's, I think the fact that like I get notifications on my phone, it's like, oh, there's another reminder of like what we're up against. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
A lot of the people around me who work with the internet have started to become concerned that they're terminally online. Does that part of your job worry you?
Yeah. I mean, I hate it. It's, I'm definitely addicted to social media and my phone, and, there's not really anything funny to say about it. and you know, I use the excuse like, oh, it's my job. Like, I kind of need to know what's going on, but I mean, like, I don't know. It's like, it's problematic. And it's something that, like, even with my 4-month-old daughter, it's just so easy. Like, she's, you know, fussing or whatever, and it's like, here's Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and then all of a sudden she's just like, cool, and she's just like, in, you know, into it, and it's like, oh no, I'm already watching the cycle repeat itself. Like, we're all just like slowly becoming zombies that need like a screen in front of our faces. And that's a very you know, pessimistic view of things. Like, I know there's so many great things that come out of technology and social media, but it's very easy to see all the harm that comes with it as well.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Nick, and talking about zombie babies, the US election, and conspiracy theories, and everything in between. It's been a great pleasure.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
And right before you go, too, actually, I was just going to ask, what's next in terms of tours or shows or anything like that you want to plug?
I'm trying to release some new vinyl, like another album worth of collection of these songs by the end of this year. It's the world's worst kept secret. I'm working on another Spirit Halloween song that should be coming out very soon.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, I do intend to start traveling. We're playing a couple shows in Chicago next year, and we're looking to book a lot more. I don't think we'll be playing in Australia next year, but
that's fair. We're not playing in Australia either at the moment.
Yeah, right. But we'd love to get there eventually, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, well, when the live comedy and music scene comes back, we'll see you then in 2041. It'll be great.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you so much for checking out today's bonus episode. If you want to hear more of Nick's work, you can check him out on pretty much all major music streaming platforms and also on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Bandcamp. We'll be back with another episode of The Chaser Report tomorrow. Our gear's provided by Rode Microphones, and we're part of the Acast Creator Network. Bye!